Well, I'm more encouraged now that Bergman gave me that info about Scherzer facing the Cardinals this year.
Yeah.
And then he hasn't given up a run. All right, Greg, original bet.
All right, good.
He's back.
Yeah, because it was a little messed up because you were changing it from game 163 to the
wild
card.
Well, no, that was just a misunderstanding. Then... I wanted the game Scherzer pitched in, whenever that was.
Okay, then that's so we got it there.
50K on Scherzer.
Perfect.
All right, so, all right, Clinton, I seriously don't know the right answer to this question, so I wanted to bring it up, and we'll take it to the phones as well. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. ESPN's Seth Wickersham, who's a really good writer, has a book coming out called It's Better to Be Feared. It's about the Patriots dynasty. And in that book, Seth is reporting that when Tom Brady decided to go to Tampa, he was a free agent. He had an offer from the Patriots. He didn't feel very wanted. He had an offer from the Bucks. That's where he decided to go. Brady reached out to Belichick and said, hey, look, I'd like to come see you in person and just kind of thank you for everything you've done and close the book on the two of us before I leave town. And Belichick said, I'm busy. Let's talk on the phone. Belichick is getting killed for this. My question is, Clinton, if you're breaking up a business relationship, and that's what this was, even though it was a tremendously successful one, did Belichick owe it to Brady to make himself available in person? What do you think?
Okay, so these are the lovely sounds of Demi Lovato, Sorry Not Sorry, one of the great breakup songs in the history of the world, just for those of you who aren't familiar with what you're hearing under the bed. John, I don't think that it is. I have a pretty simple rule in life, which is, unless you have or that person has seen you naked, you're not really required to show up in person in order to leave their life or for them to leave yours. Like, I mean, and perhaps they have. I don't know how things go in the facility because Belichick has told stories before about how he wanders the halls in the buff late at night, when particularly when other players don't know that he's there. But, like, I don't know, man. I mean, especially if you've known somebody that long, like, I presume they probably think that they're going to run into each other again at some point. And it's
not
like... Yeah,
it's Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, I mean, like, in real life, you know what I mean? When right. That happened, I think that they thought that they were going to see each other. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to say goodbye because maybe it ain't over. You know what I mean? Another great breakup song, by the way. And so, like, if you're Brady, I mean, sure, you ask that, but do you really think that he cared? Or do you think that he was just doing his due diligence? Because I think there's probably a little bit of both. I think that Belichick's probably like, come on, man. I know you don't want to show up here and say something to me. And I don't want to have a scene caused either on my own home turf. So it's like, let's just do us both a favor and you get along with it. I could see that being a good reason for Belichick to dodge Tom Brady.
So I kind of am with you. I don't necessarily think Belichick did anything wrong here. Mason and I have talked about this story on the air a bunch of times, but there was a time, it was in 2008, where management came to Mason like 2 months before they did it and said, we're going to get rid of Ireland. It's just going to be the Mason show. And Mason said, well, I've got to tell him. And they said, you can't tell him. And Mason kept it a secret.
Oh.
And about 15 minutes before they were going to tell me, he couldn't keep it a secret anymore. And he said, in 15 minutes, they're going to fire you. And I was so mad at him after that. I thought when I walked out that day, Clinton, that we didn't even think about getting together in person. And we'd been together for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's a good Brady Belichick comp. Now, to Mason's credit.
Right. Well, hold on. Yeah, what happened?
Like, his show was a disaster. The station lost 75% of its ratings. It wasn't just because of him. They tried a whole bunch of other programming changes.
Right.
And 6 months later, Mason put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He called me and said, look, hey. I screwed that up. They screwed up. Do you think we could put this back together and make it work? And then we got back together, and you know, we've been together since then for like 15 years. But had he not done that, we never would have.
It wouldn't happen.
Neither one of us had any desire to see each other in person.
What's that song? Baby, come back.
Yeah,
you
player.
Can blame it.
They're one
on
hit.
Own me.
Yeah,
it's a great song.
But Greg, what do you think? Did Belichick owe it to Brady to meet with him in person?
Yeah, he absolutely did. I'm sorry. They were together for how many years?
Well, they won 6 Super Bowls, right?
I mean, after so much time, I don't care how bad it actually got. You can at least sit together and maybe have some coffee and just say, hey, you know what?
But why?
We did some stuff.
True story, I once broke up with a girl. I left her a Post-it note.
Well, you're a bad person.
We hadn't been going out that long. Clinton, this violates your rule.
Also, what year was this?
violates your rule, Clinton. That's what
Clinton,
he just threw in there.
Yeah, Clinton, this does violate your rule. We got in a huge fight the night before.
Right.
Huge fight. And we both knew it was over. And I woke up the next day, and I thought, well, maybe when I wake up, I'll feel differently. And when I woke up, I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Right.
And she had a stack of Post-it notes on her kitchen table on her counter. And I wrote, look, we both know this is over. Let's talk later. And I left the note on the pillow where I was sleeping.
Wow.
How long were we together for?
Yeah, hold on. What year in the world was
this?
This
was 1993.
So this would have been a text message in this day.
No, nobody had cell phones.
Right, but I mean, the equivalent of communication of a Post-it note in the 90s is a text message.
You could have beeped her.
And we had dated for about 6 months.
Ooh, 6 months. So was there a holiday? Which 6 months of the year were it? That's important.
Started right after Valentine's Day. And ended
in the summer. You're in the clear.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Oh, no. No big deal, though.
There was no Christmas.
Right.
There was no Thanksgiving.
No.
You didn't have to be together with her family.
But there were not holy days, you know?
No.
Like, there's like Easter and St. Patrick's Day.
There was no reason for us to do it in person. And by the way, Greg, if you quit a job, which is basically what Brady was doing, once you give notice, you can do that in an email.
If I left here, let's say I've been here for almost 6 years. If I left here, I wouldn't go and be like, all right, Amanda, sorry, I'm out of here in an email. I would go sit down with her.
But in other places, other jobs, I mean, our personalities and our friendships and our camaraderie is a large part of why the station works. In radio, though, you know the other way around. It doesn't always go that way.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Well, Ireland just got through telling us.
Yeah. Well, in radio, too, a lot of times when they're going to let you go, we talked about this earlier in the week, they won't even give you a last show.
No.
You'll get done on, like, a Wednesday, and they'll call you into the office after the show and go, show's over. And you'll say, well, can I go back on the air to say goodbye? And they're like, nope, show's over.
I was at another station, and we had a late night show, and they emailed us in the middle of the show, hey, come meet us at this time tomorrow. And we went in there, and they said, your whole show is gone. Goodbye.
Wow.
Right. And a lot of times, like stations will just change formats. You know, like, if you ever watched the movie Private Parts with Howard Stern,
one day he had a job
at a rock station, and one day he walked in, and they had switched to country. And they gave him a cowboy hat and told him to play country western music. That happens all the time. But in this case,
young DJs out there, if you want some great stories, listen to format change stories from former DJs in radio. You will hear some wild stuff.
In the case of Belichick and Brady, I think in Belichick's mind, he thought, he's leaving. I'm staying. We really don't have a lot to talk about. And we certainly don't need to have an uncomfortable... You know, Belichick seems like he would be the worst person on the planet to have dinner with because he just doesn't talk.
Right.
I thought it was nice that Brady offered, but I don't think Belichick should be getting beat up like this. And by the way, I think Brady has won the... You know, the question is, who is most responsible for their dominance, Brady or Belichick? Now we know it was Brady.
Oh, yeah. You know? And Brady's also won the, like... You know, going out more, dressing less. He's won all of the battles.
All right, is that breaking news, Greg?
Yeah, it is.
This is breaking news, and thank you to Carlos Saisu who just sent this to me. The Super Bowl halftime show was just announced through Eminem. Eminem and Dr. Dre will be doing the Super Bowl Pepsi
Marshall
halftime
Mathers.
Show. Marshall Mathers.
I bet you it'll be great.
And Snoop Dogg is going to be in there, too.
I bet you it'll be great. You know,
so we're going with an L.A., okay, L.A.-ish.
And Dre, yeah, most of the things Dre gets his hands on turn out to be really, really good.
I mean, I guess I'm just trying to think about, like, what are they going to play? You know what I'm saying? Like, not a lot of Slim's catalog holds up in a world of 2021 in terms of hit songs that he can perform that are, like, things that people know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
But I think he's going to bring in – he's going to bring in a lot of people. I'm already seeing pictures of Kendrick Lamar. I'm already seeing pictures of Snoop.
If Kendrick Lamar shows up, then we're talking a different story. I was at the national championship game.
I think that's what he's going to do.
No, I know. I'm saying when I was at the national championship game when Alabama beat Georgia, Kendrick Lamar did a show across the street at Millennial Park, and it was awesome in Atlanta. So that guy, I mean, he's a headliner on his own is what I'm saying. So this will be interesting.
It's Kendrick Lamar, Snoop, Eminem, Dre, and Mary J. Blige.
Oh.
Those are the people that are committed so far.
Mary J. Blige.
My guess is
dignitary.
Dre's going to produce it. And isn't Jay-Z involved with some of this stuff?
I don't see Jay-Z. I mean, maybe, but like if Jay-Z comes out, I mean, I'm not saying the best, but that's the biggest rap concert of the year on some level in terms of like the star power there. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Okay. All right. So coming up next, open the phones, guys. Matthew Berry from ESPN is nice enough. He doesn't do a lot of radio shows, but he's nice enough to do ours every week. This or that, Matthew will tell you who to play in your fantasy league. Now, a couple of rules with this. When we go to you, we'll say, all right, Greg in Sherman Oaks, you're on with Matthew Berry. You don't have to say, hi, how you doing, guys? Matthew,
right.
I love
Get
you, blah,
it.
Blah, blah. Just say, hey, do I play Russell Wilson or Derek Carr? And
names,
Matthew will give you an opinion.
Names,
that way,
league type, move on.
That way we can get you more people.
Say that to every single caller, by the way, and nobody listens.
Right. You know, it's funny because I know you do. And I'd say, what do you think, Greg? Like maybe 10%?
No, oh, yeah. It's very rare when somebody actually doesn't say, hey, how you guys doing?
And I know you've given them the whole spiel, but, yep. You know, so pretty soon. One of these days, we'll have to get tough and hang up on people. All right. So next, coming up next, this or that with Matthew Berry. But before we get to that, Clinton, I'm going to get a little serious here.
Okay.
And you know this because you've lived in LA for a while now. The rivalry between Clipper fans and Laker fans is snarky. You know, we make fun of them, they make fun of us. There's no love lost.
Nobody talks about the Clippers more than Lakers fans. That's
all I've ever
said.
There's no love lost between Laker fans and Clipper fans. It's very snooty. Unless something like this happens. A lot of you know that before I worked for the Lakers, I did play-by-play for the Clippers for 3 years. I was their radio guy. I still got a lot of friends over there. They got some heartbreaking news this week, and I want to send, on behalf of everybody at 710 ESPN, our heartfelt condolences and our prayers to everybody at the Clippers. They had a young guy working for him, 26 years old. He's from New Jersey. His name was Asan Drame. He worked in the digital video department. And he went missing earlier this week. And yesterday, his family finally tracked him down. He was killed in a car accident on Monday night. And Clinton, you've been around sports long enough to know. Yeah. I've been a part of sports teams my whole life. And when you get to sports teams, it becomes this crazy, loving, dysfunctional family. And when something like this happens, it's just devastating. And I can't imagine what our friends at the Clippers are going through. And this is nothing else to say with no snark and no edge. We're thinking about you guys. Our heart goes out to you. And I hope you guys are finding some peace in this difficult time. This was his first job, Clinton, out of college, young broadcaster, young African-American dude.
Yeah.
And you never had the chance to meet him, did you?
I don't know him, but I know a couple people over at the Clippers. And I just want to say this more so for the listening audience as well. You mentioned it a little bit, Ireland, is that it takes a lot of things to make this product go. And that product being the NBA, that product being any particular team. And whenever you lose anybody who's dedicated to their craft, you have to take some time to reevaluate what it is you actually like about all of this stuff. And I think that losing somebody, losing Asan, losing anybody after media day feels particularly painful because it's the point of pride for everybody at that point of the season. And to think that somebody didn't make it home with so much hope in front of them in terms of their lives, in terms of the season, in terms of everything that franchise is trying to do, it's heartbreaking. So I extend my condolences to the Clipper family as well as his own family. There was a big-time online effort that his sister was coordinating to try to find him. They found him, but the news was the worst. And I just don't know what, you know, for all of those of you who have been not recognized for the jobs that you do in and around the sports world, understand that it doesn't take having to go for people to recognize how much you're worth. And unfortunately, the Clippers are in that situation right now of having to bury one of their own.
All right. We'll be back with Matthew Berry. Clippers, our hearts are out to you, and we're thinking about you. 710 ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN LA, Clinton Yates filling in for Mace, who's taking the day off. And we're going to track down Matthew Berry here in a second. Matthew, of course, is the fantasy guru at ESPN. Clinton, a little background. Mason and I have been in the same fantasy football league for more than 20 years. The Hollywood Football League is with a bunch of agents and writers and people that work in and around the business.
Sure.
Mason, his nickname in our league is Last Place Mace. He's finished last 4 out of the last 5 years, including the last 2 years in a row. And in an effort to motivate himself, he announced at the start of this season that if he finishes last again, he will shave off one eyebrow.
One brow, man.
After three weeks, Mason is 0-3 and has the fewest points in the league. Oh, I'm 3-0, but my team probably needs some help, and that's why we bring on the great Matthew Berry each week at this time. Matthew, thanks again, as always. How you doing, man?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
No complaints, and I squeaked out a very lucky win last weekend, but... I think Mason is in real trouble. I don't know how much of that preamble you heard. I offered him kind of a lifeline this week. I told him I would trade him Derek Carr for Terry McLaurin. He has a lot of receivers, but he only has Jalen Hurts. He's carrying one quarterback, Jalen Hurts. He says you talked him out of it. Why do you like Jalen Hurts more than Derek Carr?
Why wouldn't I? I mean, here's this, so there's a bunch of reasons, right? Right, and you also have to think about team construction. So first off, I was regardless of whether he's 0-3 or 3-0. Like, you make a good trade or you don't. That would have been a bad trade for him, and I'll tell you why. Number one is Jalen Hurts is a really good fantasy football quarterback. Like, you think about Monday night, right? Let's go back to that Monday night game.
Yeah,
that Monday night game, everything that could have gone wrong for the Eagles did. Jalen Hurts did not play well. Right? We can all agree on all of that.
Yes.
And yet, Jalen Hurts had more fantasy points in ESPN standard scoring than Dak Prescott. Mm. It was 20.56 to 20.15, so it was like by 0.4 points. But still, in a game in which Dak Prescott was brilliant and Jalen Hurts looked very much like a young second-year quarterback, Jalen Hurts finished with more fantasy points, and it's because of the rushing. Got the 35 yards rushing. He got the junk touchdown late. His rushing floor keeps his value high. And I know you guys have weird scoring, but I can only go off of the scoring systems I'm familiar with. And the other thing here with Derek Carr is that I think Derek Carr is legit. He's thrown over 300 yards, I think now like seven straight games dating back to last year. And I do think it's a shoot on a Monday night with the Chargers. But the difference between Derek Carr and Jalen Hurts, I'm not convinced that if you did a draft today, that Derek Carr goes ahead of Jalen Hurts. In fact, I think almost positively that Hurts goes before Carr.
Interesting. Okay.
And if you make the argument that Carr is better than Hurts, even if it is, even if you want to say, like, I like Carr better, I believe in that offense more, blah, 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 whatever it is, the difference between Derek Carr and Jalen Hurts is negligible compared to the difference between Terry McLaurin and whoever else he would have had to start once he traded away McLaurin.
Good. Interesting. Okay, so that's a breakdown of a trade. Clinton, what do you got?
Okay, so this is sort of a long discussion, Matt, and I do not need a piece of advice on my strategy because it's ridiculous, but here's how I play. I have only white guys on my team, and it means as a result I have to have three quarterbacks that I rotate through all the time because I didn't get McCaffrey either. Long story. The question is this. I sat both Allen and Stafford last week in exchange for Rodgers because I just thought Rodgers was going to have a big game going back to San Francisco. But my question is this. Should I basically just be going with Allen as my main guy and not even worrying about trying to find a spot start space where Rodgers or Stafford might outdo him, particularly this week where he's got the Texans coming up?
Yeah, I think so. So I assume your league, Clinton's a one quarterback league?
Yes.
Okay. So two things that I would say to you. Number one is that, yes, I mean, Josh Allen was the number one player in fantasy football last year. And again, as we just talked about there with Jalen Hurts, the rushing ability of Josh Allen keeps his floor high.
Okay.
So, you know, he had two very tough matchups to start the season. I know he's a little bit down. Not that Aaron Rodgers isn't great. It's not that Stafford isn't balling out. Both guys are awesome. But you don't need them. And so on any given week, I'm always going to have Allen higher just because his rushing – because it's a team that passes a ton, and then his rushing ability just keeps his floor high. So
now here's the other thing, though,
is that
I have Cooper Kupp as well. Remember my roster construction here. So
sure, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand. You want to. So what I would say is that you have assets that you're not utilizing. Even if you wanted to say, like, I'm going with Stafford and I want the stack between him and Cooper Kupp, I would still recommend Josh Allen. But whatever, because I don't think stacks matter as much in season long as they do in DFS. But whatever it is, you have two quarterbacks that are never going to start for you and that would be valuable assets to other people in your league. And because you have such a narrow roster construction for how you want to do it, then my point is that you probably have holes in your roster because of how you've decided to construct your team. So I would use those quarterbacks to try to acquire acquire McCaffrey now.
That's what I'm going to try to do. Like, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do.
There you go. So I would trade both those quarterbacks.
Okay. Okay, before we go to the phones, Matt.
Two of your three.
Right.
Before we go to the phones, Matthew, here are my starting receivers, okay? Darren Waller, Tyler Lockett, and Odell Beckham. That's who I start now. I just picked up Tim Patrick from Denver on waivers. Should I play Patrick instead of any of those three guys?
No, I like Patrick as a pickup this week, and you know, but Denver's got a tough matchup against Baltimore. Even though the Ravens' defense is banged up, it's still, you know, a bit of a tough matchup. Patrick's not the number one. The guys that you mentioned are all the number one receivers on their team, pass catchers. You know, for people who aren't familiar with your league, you guys don't designate tight end or wide receiver, but so just pass catcher. Waller's the number one option in Vegas. OBJ's the number one option in Cleveland. Lockett is, I mean, 1A to DK Metcalf's 1, but, you know, it's such a narrow target tree and he's such a good quarterback, I don't think it matters.
Okay.
So I don't think Tim Patrick is better than any of those guys, no.
All right, perfect. All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Michael in Long Beach. Michael, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
My question is Aaron Rodgers or Jalen Hurts?
I'm always going to go with, like, listen, I get it. It's close. But I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts in what should be a shootout with Kansas City.
All right, thank you, Michael. Here is Dennis
Rodgers is playing Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh isn't Pittsburgh, but still.
Yeah, and plus, yeah. I thought you made a good argument when you talked about Jalen Hurts is a dual threat. You know, he might run for a touchdown where Aaron probably won't.
Right.
Again, 20 points in his worst start of the year. Like that's what you're talking about here with Jalen Hurts.
Dennis in Los Angeles. Hey, Dennis, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
For my RB2, James Robinson or Chuba Hubbard?
Yeah, that's a close one, especially because you think about tonight when Robinson's going to play against Cincinnati. A pesky, by the way, a pesky Bengals defense. It was nice to see Robinson get some signs of life. I will tell you that I have them fairly close together, just so you know. I have Chuba Hubbard at 15. I have James Robinson at 17. So my rankings say go with Hubbard, but it's a bit of a coin flip, just to be honest with you, because we assume Hubbard's going to get the majority of the work, but we don't know that for sure. I would go with Hubbard, but just understand that it's a little bit of a coin flip. I also don't love playing players on Thursday night if I can avoid it. So I say Hubbard barely over Robinson this week.
All right, let's jump down to line one. Greg in Lake Forest. Greg, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
Should I start DeSean Jackson over Odell Beckham in a flex position?
Ooh, good question.
I'm going to go with Beckham, who got a tremendous amount of targets and target share last week. I thought he looked healthy. I thought he looked like OBJ. I get it. D-Jax had the big one long play, and he's always a threat to go deep on one. They'll take a couple of shots to him. He's got a quarterback in Stafford who can get him the ball, but I'm always going to go with volume over shot plays, and that's what you're getting with Beckham over Jackson. So I'd go with OBJ.
All right, one more for the phones. Brandon in L.A. Brandon, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
Flex position, half-point PPR league, Brandon Ayuk, Eli Mitchell, or Jalen Waddle?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk. You know, I mean, who got six targets last week, three in the red zone, played over 80% of the snaps. Like, looks like he's out of Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. Elijah Mitchell, like, I got no idea what's going on with the 49ers running backs.
Yeah,
could Mitchell
weird.
Be the guy? Is he fully healthy? Is it going to be Trey Sermon? Is it going to be a committee? You know, they used Kyle Juszczyk a lot last week. Was that just because Sermon had been out most of the week with a concussion and was just doing walkthroughs and he's a rookie? They felt better in the red zone packages with Juszczyk. Like, in fantasy football, what you're trying to do is you're trying to minimize risk. You can't predict the future, but all you can do is try to stack the odds in your favor. And we know, or we feel good about Ayuk's talent, and based on his usage last week, we feel pretty good about his role in this passing offense. I just got no idea about the running backs. I think if you were to ask Kyle Shanahan, he would tell you the same thing. I think they're still going through practice, seeing what they have in Elijah Mitchell, and hopefully Sermon now, a week past the concussion, is picking up more of the offense. And, you know, so I think that's going to be a hot hand situation on Sunday for the Niners.
All right, let me get a couple of tweets in here before we let you go, Matthew. Danovan Price has a really interesting problem. It's a good problem. He has these three receivers, and he only has two spots. Mike Williams, Stephon Diggs, or Chase in Cincinnati. So he's got to bench one of those guys, Williams, Diggs, or Chase. Who would you bench?
Crazy. I'm going to bench Ja'Marr Chase. And it's one of those things where you just say, like, I don't think he can screw this up.
Right.
I really don't. But, you know, Stephon Diggs, I think, has a big breakout game this week. It's a nice matchup for Buffalo against Houston, obviously. Even though the Texans have played pesky defense, still, him and Allen have just missed on a couple of plays. And Mike Williams is number two wide receiver in fantasy football right now, behind Clinton's Cooper Kupp.
Crazy.
And yep. To me, as great as Ja'Marr Chase has been, I know it's insane to say sit a guy after he just had, you know, another monster game and he's playing Jacksonville, but he only got five targets. Like I said, I don't think he can screw it up because I think all three guys have big games. All three of those guys actually made my love list this week. Like Stephon Diggs, right. Mike Williams, and Ja'Marr Chase are all on this week's love list. So, but in terms of my ranks, I have Diggs and Williams ahead of Chase.
All right, so here's one. Sony Michel, Daryl Henderson, or James Conner. So that this guy's like me. He's got both Ram running backs.
Yeah, I think you're going with whoever the Rams are starting.
Yeah,
it's a super high-scoring game. Listen, first off, I'd rather go against the Cardinals defense than the Rams defense. Just point blank, period, right?
Yeah.
So we'll rule out James Conner. And then I think it's just if Daryl Henderson's healthy, you're starting him. And if he's out, then you're going with Sony Michel. You know, Cardinals are 29th against the run so far this season, and the over-under in this game is 54.5. We expect a lot of points to be scored.
All right, Jason Torres on Twitter. Hunter Renfro or Antonio Brown?
Wow. Here's a weird one. Like, you know, imagine asking that question 3 weeks ago, but Hunter Renfro's had double-digit fantasy points every game he's played.
He's
after Darren Waller, he leads the Raiders in targets. I'm going with Antonio Brown. It sort of depends on what you need, I suppose. I think the safest floor is Renfro. I think Renfro's getting a 10 points Monday night. You know, maybe he's got a shot at a touchdown.
Renfro,
but
by the way,
Renfro
might
gets you,
up.
You know. There you go. Renfro would fit into your team, Clinton. There's no question.
Yeah.
I'm saying but I think if you need an upside, I think it's Antonio Brown. Remember, it's a little bit, it's a small one, but it's a little bit of a revenge game for Antonio Brown, who's with the Patriots and then, you know, unceremoniously dumped. Obviously, he had a lot of off-the-field issues that necessitated that. But, you know, I think he's probably motivated even more so coming back. You know, I think Brady just – here's the thing. I think Brady has a monster game. I just think I think anytime you bet against Tom Brady, you lose. And I just think the volume of that offense, I think anytime they're getting close, like, they ain't running it. Tom Brady's going to take every cheap touchdown he can get in this one. And so I think he has a monster game, and I think he spreads it around. And so I think the upside play is Antonio Brown. But if you just say, like, listen, the rest of my team's stacked, I just need 10 points, Hunter Renfrow.
All right, Matthew, we'd like you to promote one of the many, many things you have going on. Where can people find you? What you got going on this week?
Well, you know, obviously we do the podcast every single day on ESPN Radio, wherever you get podcasts. You can listen to Fantasy Focus 0600. And you guys are very kind about the Fantasy Life newsletter, which
awesome.
I appreciate. It's 100% free. Go to fantasylife.com and just click on the newsletter tab to sign up. It's 100% free. Comes to your inbox every single day. If you don't like it, unsubscribe, but it's news and nuggets and tweets and articles and links that you need. Everything you need to know that day in fantasy football. It's a quick read, not long. You know, people seem to really love it.
Yeah, Matthew, it was an absolute game changer for me, and you hit on the main thing. It's free. So if you're playing fantasy football, you're crazy not to use it. Fantasylife.com, and you can sign up. Matthew, always appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, my friends. Good luck in week 4.
Thank you.
No problem. Fun fact.
That's the great Matthew Berry.
My team is 2-0 in the last 2 weeks, and Colonizers just put up 150 points last week. So y'all think I'm out here goofing?
Well, Hunter Renfrow is perfect for your team, particularly your caveat that you only have white guys.
He was behind Beasley and Cooper Kupp and Thielen. Listen, this team's not as easy to make as y'all think out here, Greg. Okay?
Can I ask why the prerequisite that you can only have white guys?
So here's what happened. Some of you know that I'm a columnist for The Undefeated, which is a website that explores the intersections of race, culture, and sports. The first year that we launched, we had a fantasy football league. I did not want to play fantasy football. I do not particularly care about fantasy football.
So this was your protest.
Hold on. No. So I played the league the first year, and everybody was acting like I was scared and this, that, and the third. I smoked the league with the regular setup. I won end to end. And I was like, you know what? For making me do this, here's what I'm doing from here on out. And that first year that I did it was when McCaffrey came out. And I picked all white dudes. I nicknamed them the Colonizers because that's a fun joke in the movie Black Panther. And I got to the playoffs, and I won a game in the playoffs. And so I just stuck with it. Greg loves it.
Love it. It's love fun. That story. All right. Coming next up, by the way, in 10 minutes, Bergman's got jump ball. He'll throw it around. And a very important game of games in the next hour. By the way, at some point today, may have already happened, may have not happened yet, I'm going to tell a lie. And when I lie, if you can identify the lie of the day, you get tickets to Cardinals-Rams this Sunday at SoFi. So keep an eye out and an ear out for the lie.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Have you know, Clinton Yates, that was not a ridiculous observation for me. California Love was, Dr. Dre was originally on that, and they wrote it for The Chronic 2. For the
California
sequel to
Love
the
is
Chronic.
100% a Dre-related song. He's all in the video
I think Morales doesn't realize that wasn't that big of a mistake.
Not remotely.
We'll let him have his fun. Okay.
Sidebar, I just wanted to say, like, I didn't realize before this was a Roc Nation production. This is an interesting, not to get too far derailed here, this is a very interesting choice because, number one, my buddy was just texting me this. Number one, it's the locality factor that's pretty cool. So save Mary and Slim, but they're all sort of affiliated. And two, it's kind of a return to, like, for lack of a better term, an older act. You know what I'm saying? Like, I realized that The Weeknd last year, it's kind of off board for a lot of people. But in general, these things have tended to skew younger. This is effectively an old folks dad rap lineup, which is, I don't know, it's an interesting move.
Although I won't be surprised if they tip a hat in some way, whether it be a mention or a part of a song, or if somehow Nipsey Hussle gets some love.
For sure.
At that Super Bowl.
For sure.
All right. Hey, so jump ball coming up. Bergman's got questions for us here coming up in about 5 minutes. But I want to get this story in first, Clinton, because maybe you can shed some light on it because I don't get it. Emmett Smith, the NFL's all-time leading rusher, has a mansion in Dallas. He has listed the mansion at $2.2 million. Now, one of the list part of the listing is that if you buy it, if you pay $2.2 million, you get dinner with Emmett Smith. He will wine, he'll go out to dinner and you and wine and dine you as a thank you to you buying his house. Does this in any way make the house more attractive? Is that a selling point?
I think it is a selling point for two reasons. Number one, I think that in a day in which, and I'm not going to get all into the market discussions of up and downs, but like the process of buying a house is so cutthroat. It's so impersonal. It's so numbers driven. I actually think this is kind of a nice thing to do. And I'll tell you all this personally. Number two, the reason why I like this is because Emmett Smith is cool as hell.
Yes.
I was hanging out with Emmett Smith 2 weekends ago in Gainesville. And, like, I genuinely like that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, this would be weird if he was some recluse.
So if you were considering the house and you were on the bubble, this might sway you a little bit?
It might sway me if I thought the house was cool enough. And I'm not saying it's the only reason to want to buy a house. But if you're thinking about, I don't know, Mini Mansion A versus Mini Mansion B, and Mini Mansion B has Emmett Smith involved, then, yeah, I'm probably going to do that. And as a separate note, but it's related, Emmett Smith is actually, I don't know what people think he's like, but he's a big, like, sort of life positivity guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's really into that. And it's I don't want to say it's infectious because that sounds kind of trite, but, like, he's actually a very genuinely positive dude. And so, like, I would definitely, to whoever does this, take him up on the chance. Don't pass on dinner with Emmett Smith because you think it's going to be all football stories.
All right,
it's not.
Can I tell you something? My old house, I used to live in the Hollywood Hills.
Mm-hmm.
I sold it to John Shaw, the president of the Rams at the time. John bought the house, and, you know, I was a sportscaster, and I gave him zero discount. The house I'm living in now was owned by Steve Sachs, the baseball player.
Second
he gave
baseball.
Me no discount, no dinner, no discount whatsoever. It's real estate. Business is business.
Oh, okay.
Dinner with Emmett Smith does not swing the deal for me. Emmett, the price is the same whether you buy me dinner or not. Doesn't work. Coming up next, Jump Ball with Bergman, 710 ESPN. All right, Bergman's got a bunch of stuff he throws at it, so we call it Jump Ball. Greg, what do you got?
All right, so Shaq does not want to be a celebrity anymore, saying, these celebrities are going freaking crazy, and I don't want to be one. I denounce my celebrityness today. I'm done with it. I don't want to be in that category. First question, do you believe him? Second question, do you blame him?
I do believe him. But Clinton, I hate to tell Shaq this. This is not the way it works. It's not like you're denouncing the throne of Zamunda. All right, you're not allowed to denounce being a celebrity. You cannot just flip a switch and go up. You're 7 feet tall. You won multiple rings in the NBA. You're one of the great guys of all time. We, as Clinton, you and I, as very minor D-list celebrities,
right,
refuse to let Shaq leave the celebrity pool because we have very few good celebrities. He's one. He's incredibly generous. Great guy. I've often said the greatest marriage of sports and entertainment in LA since Magic Johnson. Shaq, no. Your request to renounce your celebrity is not accepted. You're still in.
Wow. Okay. So I will say this about Shaq. I kind of understand where he's coming from because, first of all, there's a big difference between famous and a celebrity. Shaq is a celebrity. Shaq will never go back to just being like regular famous where people just say, oh, look, there's that guy. I wonder what he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, no, he's in people will mob you whenever they see you in public, which is the difference between celebrity and fame, in my personal opinion. But I do see where he's coming from here, Greg, because like Shaq is about as close to a normal sort of person is any famous, even basketball player I can think of. That's always been kind of his appeal, is that Shaq probably understands a normal person's life more than a lot of other people, and he doesn't like the way that his celebrity friends have been representing themselves. It's a good cause. I don't think he's ever going to win that race, though.
I've told stories like this all the time, but Clinton, I've never, ever seen anyone as generous as Shaq. Right. One time, our equipment manager, the Laker equipment manager, was up late at night with an old beat-up van, loading equipment from the plane and taking it back to the facility. And Shaq didn't like that he was driving a beat-up van. And the next day, he had a brand-new pickup truck that Shaq bought. I've heard stories of Shaq being in a store in a mall where a lady was buying a computer for her daughter, and she could barely hold it while she was waiting in line. Shaq went up, held the computer, and when it got to the cash register, he paid for the whole thing.
Yep.
Ask Mike Penberthy. Ask Mark Mattson. Guys who, when they got to the NBA, didn't have suits, didn't have clothes. Shaq sent a tailor to their house and bought them multiple suits. The most generous guy I've ever seen in professional sports. I can't say enough good things about Shaq.
Love Shaq.
All right, so I wanted to do this yesterday with you guys, but Mason didn't want me to do it, so he's not here, and I'm going to do it now.
Well, that's amazing. You know, I have a list of things, Greg, that I just wait for, because Mason takes more days off than anybody in history of work, and so as soon as Mason takes the days off, I work the list in, so you're getting to your list.
Yes. So UCLA basketball put out their schedule yesterday, and they are playing some really strong teams this year. Villanova comes to Poly on November 12th. They play Gonzaga in Vegas 11 days later. They travel to Marquette in early December, and then play UNC in Vegas on the 18th
Hold
of
on.
December.
Where, let me call up my calendar, because your boy might be in Vegas.
Oh, there you go. So that's four huge games in the first month of the season alone. Does this get you excited for UCLA basketball, and what do you think of scheduling these behemoths?
First of all, yes, it gets me excited and love what Mick Cronin is doing. I don't know if that's Martin Jarmond or Mick Cronin doing the scheduling. I assume it's Mick. Good for you. UCLA was the 800-pound gorilla of college basketball for 30 years, and they got away from that. Greg, I think every preseason poll has UCLA either first or second based on their performance last year, making it all the way to the Final Four. Nothing matters in the NCAA until the tournament starts anyway. So, Clinton, why not play the 800-pound gorillas when you can? It's good for the fans. It's good practice for the tournament. And you don't even need to win them, because UCLA is getting into the tournament anyway.
Absolutely. And at this point, you know, you talk about the brand UCLA. Jarmond, by the way, has done an incredible job of reinvigorating life into a couple different programs over there. So you got to love that. But I agree with you. Like, why would you not? You know what I mean? You're going to avoid the big-timers. You're a big-time team. Play the other big-time squads. Hold on, Greg, quickly. When did you say they're in Vegas again?
They're in Vegas twice. So once on would it be November 23rd, and then they'll be in there later on December 18th.
November 23rd is very close to Thanksgiving.
November 23rd is definitely 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And by the way, I would encourage you to go watch that UCLA team. They play bird dog defense. They scrap. They fight. They've got a couple of guys. Jaime Jaquez is like a football player playing basketball.
Johnny Juzang is
a lottery pick. It's a really, really fun team, and Cronin just grinds these dudes. He's really into playing defense and playing tough. Can't say enough good things about UCLA basketball.
All right, Jorge, what you got for me?
All right, Clayton, so last night I sent these guys pictures of crepes. See, I get down in the kitchen like that. So it was my night to make dessert, so I made these crepes, you know, Nutella and strawberries and bananas.
And you and Key are good in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You and Key,
yeah, so when it comes to dessert, do you guys prefer buying it or making it?
I'm a cheesecake guy. I'm not a big sweets guy, so desserts are not really my ministry, but you know what I will do occasionally? And this is a big airport move. I know you know about this, Ireland. I'll get cheesecake for breakfast and eat it in the airport.
God bless you.
That's the only thing I'll do. Yeah, that's a breakfast move for me. Dessert is breakfast as far as I'm concerned.
There's a production company in Los Angeles that does a lot of sporting events called Pro Angle, and it's a combination of two guys, Jeff Proctor and Steve Rangel, who are both great dudes. So they produce the Laker games for years, and one day I'm in San Antonio with Rangel, and we're walking to dinner. We're going to a steakhouse. We're going to Boudreaux's. I don't know if you've ever been to Boudreaux's, Clinton, on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. And we're walking to dinner, on our way to dinner. And Rangel goes, hold on a second. And he pops into one of the shops along the Riverwalk. And I said, what are you doing? And he walks out with a giant ice cream cone. And we're walking to dinner. I go, Steve, we're on our way to dinner, and you're going to eat that entire ice cream cone? He goes, Look, in case you haven't noticed, I've packed on a few pounds here. I may have a heart attack before dinner, and I didn't want to deprive myself of this before I go.
Wow. What a philosophy.
Dessert at any time of the day is a beautiful idea. Oh, yeah. All for it. And Jorge, to answer your question, and it doesn't just apply to food, if it comes down to buying it or making it, I am 100% in the buying it camp. I can't make anything.
I like making it, but the cleaning part, oh, I just hate cleaning up after myself.
It looked good, though. The picture you sent looked good.
It did look delicious, and I will not make anything. I'm not good at it.
I'm with you, Bergie.
Yeah. All right, so do you remember the name Bobby Savoy? He was the Bat Boy.
Bat Boy in The Natural.
Yes, exactly.
Pick me a winner, Bobby.
Yeah, the Bat Boy from The Natural that made Wonder Boy, and then Robert Redford hit a home run that hit the lights, and it was just an incredible scene. What if I told you that kids like that are not how it is in baseball anymore? And I'm sure Clinton knows this more than we do, but that's not a thing, at least for the Dodgers. The Dodgers have 5 clubbies that have been with the team since at least 2015, if not longer, and they are in their 20s. So how do you see this revelation? As smart business by the Dodgers to have best of the best all the way down to the Bat Boys, or kind of messed up that kids don't get to be the Bat Boys anymore?
Let me jump in here.
Sure.
Clubbies and Bat Boys are two different jobs, basically. So, like, I get what you're saying. Like, the clubby was normally the old guy, and the Bat Boy was the young guy that could just move better than the clubby and sort of was like the... How do I say this? Sort of like the non-legal drinking age version of the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've actually got to do the running around and the shining of the helmets, whereas the clubby kind of organizes the Bat Boys. So I do think that, like, we're deep in clubhouse chalk talk right here, but I actually think that this makes sense because it kind of melds both. Like, people around the clubhouse are all kind of the same, and to have more people doing that who are all smarter, I don't know. I think that makes sense. I've known a lot of guys who were Bat Boys over the years who were, like, you know, grown men now, and, like, for them... They didn't look at it as just being a Bat Boy. They looked at that as a job in a major league clubhouse, which it is, which is a cool thing.
Greg, I think you got this question from an article in the LA Times this week that featured all those guys.
Yep.
And after reading it, I have no problem with the way the Dodgers have set it up. Those guys appear to me as people who are really good at their jobs. They're part of the Dodger family. It would have been weird to try and work in teenagers or young Bat Boys during the pandemic, so they just relied on these guys. And let me give a shout out to one of them. As many of you know, I'm not telling anybody something you don't know here. One of our competitors is Rodney Peete. Rodney was a quarterback in the NFL. He was a quarterback at USC.
Yeah,
really good dude. He's married to Holly Robinson, Clinton.
Yeah, listen, I follow them on the IGs, and I'm familiar with their work.
Okay, so you probably know this aspect of their life.
I do.
Rod, like me, has a son on the autism spectrum. Rodney Jr., they call him RJ. RJ, Greg, is one of those Bat Boys that you described. The Dodgers gave RJ, going back to tying the show together, when I said if I could pass one law, I would say you got to hire a special needs kid if you're a big company. The Dodgers did that with RJ. He's been a Bat Boy there for the last 5 years. Holly tweets about it all the time. I think it's really cool that they've worked him into the Dodger family. He loves it, and he's one of those guys you described, Greg. So the show kind of came full circle right there for a second.
That's it for Jump Ball, and that's what I do. I bring it all full circle.
Okay, coming up next, there is a new, brand new, number one show on Netflix. I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. I know nothing about it, but Clinton's seen it. He knows about it, and he's going to tell you what it is next. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.